Years ago, I met a man. He used to deliver our paper. His name was Jack Skinner, and he lived in St. Marybourne. Some of you may remember Jack. To my knowledge, he never preached a sermon. I never was aware that he was a preacher or took meetings. He certainly acted as a steward for the St. Marybourne Methodist for many years, and he's a great fellow. But the context is that he was our paper man. But he preached a sermon to me that I've never forgotten. And what it was, woke up, and it was one of those days when the water was just falling out the skies. It was overcast and miserable. And Jack came to the door, and I opened the door, and he stood there with rain dripping off his hat and handed me the paper. And I said this, I said, "Jack, what a miserable day." And Jack just stood and looked at me. He said, "I'm surprised to hear you say that." He says, "Because this is the day the Lord has sent. Let us rejoice and be glad." And with that, he went. And I thought, gosh, he's been up since about 3:30 this morning. I've just got out of bed, had a nice cup of tea in a warm kitchen. And I've really been slapped over the hand and preached the sermon that I've never, ever forgotten. Because I realised that actually we've grown up in a culture that grumbles. That's what the British do. They don't riot very often. Or cause tremendous unrest. They just grumble. See? And the authorised version uses a lovely word, because it wasn't only a British disease, but it obviously was an Israeli disease as well. They murmured. Murmur, murmur, murmur. You know? See? Constantly. They said disparaging negative things. Whether they were heard or not, they were a grumbling guy. And when you think about it, we're like that. Because, I mean, what is our natural greeting? Well, today, I was so pleased, because when I came here and had a little prayer time, and the Don says, "Thank the Lord for the lovely day." I thought, "God bless you." But normally we find something disparaging about the weather. And I thought so. And even the forecasters, on the television, they'll say, "And today is going to be a miserable day. It's going to rain." And you know, in some parts of the world, they'll say, "Hallelujah, it's going to rain." And we say, "It's a miserable day." See? Because that's, you observe and watch. And the trouble is, by the time that you've met about 10 people, they've all said, on perhaps a day when the weather's a little inclement, "What a miserable day." Can I tell you that your capacity for enjoying the day has now gone right down? It has a negative effect on how you actually enjoy things. Because not only the scripture, but medical science says that if we can be upbeat and positive and happy, we will be healthier. Did you know that? It actually affects our psychosomatic system, which, you know, cannot precisely be explained. But if we can remain positive, happy, and looking forward to the day, we'll actually be more healthy and we're far more likely to enjoy it. So what does the scripture say? Well, this scripture that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 referred to a times, or three times particularly, in the history of the Israelites as they came through the desert. And if you have your Bibles with you, please open it to Numbers chapter 11. Because I'd like to refer to one or two verses as we go along. Verse 1, chapter 11. Now the people complained, says our NIV, about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Have you ever been aware, as I learned from that simple sermon that Jack Skinner delivered, that my grumbling actually angers God, makes him unhappy? Now, I guess most here are or have been parents of small children. What do you think about kids that grizzle? I can see one lady whose face has gone into contortions. See?
I don't like it.
When they haven't even tasted it. All right?
Or it's not the right colour.
Or teenagers, it's not quite the right style and all that. And you've busted a gut to try and to provide what you think to be right, and they say, don't like it. How do you feel? Honestly, you're not allowed to strike your children too hard, but you feel like they do, doesn't it? How do you think God feels? When we live, and I'm talking about us, when we live in probably the most human-friendly climate in the world. Think about it. Where would you rather be? You say Spain or somewhere like maybe. Well, lots of sunshine, but we live in the most equable climate for human life, I think. Our crops rarely fail. And, you know, we live in a privileged situation, and we say, what a miserable day. What miserable weather. I suspect God gets pretty angry at some of our grumbles. Another one we grumble about is the government. It's the fashion always. You know, it's always good to grumble about the government. Have you read Romans chapter 13? Which says, I don't know whether you voted for them, but I tell you why they're there. It says, the Bible says, that God ordained that they should be there. Simple as that. And it told us that we must respect. Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? That we must respect and observe and behave as good citizens, and we should actually support the government, even if we didn't vote for it. I paid my income tax this week. A bit unusual, because we poor farmers. We don't pay much income tax, do we, James? No, but I did. And we don't like paying taxes, do we? Eh? Bible says we should actually enjoy paying them. And we should pay them cheerfully. Ooh, that's a hard one. There's some bits in the Bible that are a bit tough, isn't it? But you see what I'm getting at, don't you? The things that we moan about or murmur about, we might not even express, you know, complete ideas. We just niggle and whinge. Makes God very angry. because he's a loving God. And as we look back and we look back over our lives, God's been so good. So good. We as a couple, we as a family have been so blessed. We really have. And if I'm tempted to grumble, I now have a real conscience because, oh, sorry, Lord. Sorry. The next thing that grumbling does is in verse 10. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became, this time, exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. Grumbling is infectious. Try to see the surprise on somebody's face the next time it's pouring down with rain. They say, what a miserable day. Try saying, well, I don't see that. I love the little motto that's by a New Zealand clothing firm called Swan Dry. They say this: there's no such thing as bad weather, only inappropriate clothing. Well, because they're selling rainwear, you see. But try countering with a cheerful response and see the surprise on their face, as I was surprised that early morning from Jack Skinner. Just see. Grumbling is infectious. And it continues. And it just, whereas murmuring made God angry, because of the infection and the effect on other people, now God is exceedingly angry. Reminds me of an advert for cakes, doesn't it? He's exceedingly angry. I don't think I want to meet God angry. I think that would be an awesome thing, that God should be so angry. And then again in verse 14, I want you to see another effect. Moses says, verse 13, where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I can't carry these people by myself. The burden's too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death. I've had enough, Lord. Our grumbling eventually has enormous effect on those that seek to care for us in the home, in the family, in church life, in business life. It has a debilitating, negative effect, and brings people into despair. I just feel so burdened about this, because I've seen the effect and felt the effect, and what's the answer to it all? The problem with these people is that they said, God had provided manna, you see. Now, this wonderful food that just came every morning, and they just had to go out and harvest it and pick it up. What was it like? It's described as a small thing, like coriander seed, a round thing, a white thing. How did it taste like? It tasted like, says the scripture, wafers filled with honey. Well, I don't think we'd mind that. And here it came. How is it described in Psalm 78? It's described as angels' food. Would you like to try angels' food? Sounds delicious to me. And they had this manna in this manner, And it came and they yearned for meat. And they started to think back to when they were in Egypt, and they said, oh, we used to have all these vegetables, we had all this variety. They were slaves, for goodness sake. Slaves worked to the point of starvation, and yet all they could think of was some of the food they ate. God had provided angel food that tasted with wafers filled with honey, and they called it in the scripture here, we're tired of this manna. Can you imagine the expression that they said it with? This manna. Oh, if I were God, you know? And he did. He did strike some of them. God in anger, exceeding anger, struck 25,000 of them and they died. In chapter 21, the same kind of thing happened. We loathe this light bread, they said. Well, perhaps you prefer snakes. When the people slept, the snakes came into the camp and bit the people, and many died. Oh, my word. Can't we live in the light of God's word and watch our tongues and our thinking? How can we... What's the answer to... yes, you might say, David, I'd love to get out of this British habit of moaning about everything. Shall I tell you the solution? The apostle tells us it's simply thankfulness. Learning to be thankful. You can't have a vacuum, you know. You can't displace something and leave a hole. What you've got to try and do is push out the grumbling, push out the grousing and the whinging by thankfulness. You say, well, I don't feel particularly thankful. God says, love your neighbour. Do you like your neighbour? Or you say, he plays loud music. Or his dog messes on our lawn. Or so on. And you think, well, how can I love my neighbour? I know that's not the strict context of it, but you know what I mean. Well, what I've discovered in my experience is that don't wait for the feeling, do the action. And you know what happens? Once you start doing the action, you get the feeling. That's extraordinary, isn't it? And this habit of thankfulness is catching. Just as grumbling and whinging and grousing is catching. And if you get in the presence of people who just lift their eyes to heaven and just praise him and thank him, you don't feel like whinging anymore. Or grumbling about something or moaning about something. It's uplifting. It too is infectious. And it has the exact opposite of the debilitating effect on other people as grumbling does. Thankfulness. Paul said, I've learned to be thankful in whatever state I am. Now that's a big lesson. That's something to aspire to, I'm sure. Because, you know, I know from my recent history, some places it's hard to be thankful for when you're under the chemo cosh and things, you know? But it's the way to displace. Eileen confessed to me that she hated putting away the shopping. She goes to Waitrose, because we go to the posh shop. She goes to Waitrose and comes home with all the shopping. And, you know, I have actually been a couple of times lately. She brings home the shopping and it comes in these bags and goes in the kitchen, and for some reason putting everything away just gets her. And really, I mean, it shouldn't, should it, really? I'm not berating you in public, darling. It might happen to some of these other folk here, you see. And I said, I wonder if you could try something. I wonder if you could pick up a bunch of bananas and say, Lord, it's a wonderful thing that we can eat bananas that are grown, you know, in the West Indies or wherever they're grown, and put them in the cupboard. You know, putting the milk in the fridge. Lord, it's a wonderful thing that we can have milk, you know, that's cheaper than bottled water. I've got to get it in somehow. You know, a price, you know, that we can have fresh milk to put on our cereal. And take these items and just think where they came from, who may have handled them, who brought them to us, who served us. They're nice people in Waitrose. And and somehow a chore becomes a blessing. Sometimes we play a game called marking the moment. And when either one of us has seen something, you know, not particularly wonderful, Eileen looked out the window and she said, look at that jackdaw on the dog kennel. I mean, I looked. And we looked together at the jackdaw on the dog kennel, seeing if the dogs had left anything behind. You know? And it was just one of those little moments. We marked the moment. We look out of our kitchen window when we were in breakfast and we saw the vapour trails going into Heathrow. And we marked the moment. And, you know, if we bring this kind of thankfulness, we can displace and be aware, so much more sensitive to the grumbling thing. And I believe that our unspoken praise just goes like a sweet smell to heaven. And God sniffs, if I may be reverent, and say, yeah. God bless you.